Hello, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Bava Kamma. Today we'll be learning Chapter 6, Mishnayos 4 and 5. Mishnah 4. Hashaleach es habera, biyad cheresh, shote v'katan, pater b'dinei adam, v'chayev b'dinei shemayim. So if a person sends fire by a deaf mute, someone who's mentally deficient or a minor, he's exempt by the laws of man, but he's chayev by the laws of heaven. Shilach biyad pikeach, ha pikeach chayev. If he sent it by a normal person, then the normal person would be chayev himself. Echad hevi es ha'ur, ve'echad hevi es ha'etzim, ha'mevi es ha'etzim chayev. If one person brings the flame and one person brings the wood, the one who brought the wood is chayev. Echad hevi es ha'etzim, ve'echad hevi es ha'ur, ha'mevi es ha'ur chayev. If one person brought the wood and one brought the flame, the one who brought the flame is chayev. Va'acher v'liba hamala bechayev. If another person comes and inflamed it, the one who inflames it is chayev. Libta haruach kulam patarin. If the wind comes along and inflamed it, then everybody is patar. Hashalechas habeira, v'achla etzim o avanim o afar chayev. So, if one starts a fire and it consumes wood or stones, earth, then he's chayev, because it's written shenemar, ki teitze esh umatza kotzim v'nechal gedish o hakama o hasade shalom yeshalom hamavir es habeira. So, if fire breaks out or spreads to thorns and consumes stack corn, standing corn, or the field, the one who kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. He's chayev. Avra gader shehu gavoa arba amos, o derech harabim, o nahar, pater. So if it passed over a fence that's 4 cubits high, or a public way, or river, he's exempt. Hamadlik b'tzoko shelo, ad kama tavar hadlecha. But if he kindles within his own area, how far must the fire spread for him to be chayav? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, roin osak iluhi be'emsa base kor. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we say that we consider it as if it was in the center of a kor. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Sheish Esrei Amos, Kederech Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Eliezer says, 16 cubits like a public way. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Chamishim Amos, 50 Amos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalom Yishalom Hamavir Es HaBeira, Hakol Lefi HaLeika. Rabbi Shimon says that the one who kindled the fire surely shall make restitution. Everything is according to the fire. So from here to the end of our parak, we're going to deal with the laws of damage caused by fire. And if the fire is caused by a deaf mute, and someone's mentally deficient, a minor, the sender who gave him the fire is exempt by the laws of man, because the law of agency doesn't apply to a deaf mute, someone who's mentally deficient, or minor, but is chayav by the laws of heaven, because the Gemara is teaching that the Mishnah is teaching that he's exempt from laws of man only in the case where he gave them a coal, which they fanned ablaze. Since a coal normally goes out by itself, and the sender didn't have to think that maybe they would fan it alive. But if he gave them a flame, then he would be chayav for the damage. Now, if he sent the fire with a normal person, and it ignited his fellows properly, so then the payment of the damage, the sender is exempt, even by the laws of heaven, because the person agent is regarded as the person himself. It doesn't apply here, because the agent should have not done this, should have known better. Now, if he brought the flame, and afterwards someone brought wood, and it ignited with the flame, so the one who brought the wood is chayav, because he hadn't brought the wood, the flame would have gone out by itself, wouldn't have caused any damage. If he brought wood first, and then afterwards brought flame, and ignited the wood, the one who brought the flame is again chayav, because he started the fire. Now, if someone else came and started the fire, fanned the fire into a blaze, then that person is chayav, the first two are exempt. If wind inflames the fire, then they're all exempt. And again, this is in the case of an abnormal wind, which appears at infrequent intervals. If it's a normal wind, then the last one's chayev, because the fire spreads in a normal wind, and he should have been wary and guarded the fire so it shouldn't spread and cause damage. Now, if someone started a fire, and it burns someone else's wood, or their stones, or their earth, it laps into the fellow's plowed field, then you're chayev to pay full damages. If the fire goes over a fence that's 4 cubits high, right, or above thorns on the other side of the fence, so he ignited the fire with his own domain. He didn't guard it because he didn't think it would spread outside his domain, and a wall 4 cubits high separated the place of the fire from the public way, or 16 cubits high, from his fellow's field, or in a public way 16 cubits, or in a river which is 8 cubits wide. He should be putter because this shouldn't normally occur. It's beyond his control. If he kindles a fire within his own area, but there's no divider, how far can the fire spread with him being chayev? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, we consider it as if it was the center of the field, an area of a kor, which is 30 sa'a. So 274 cubits by 274 cubits, about 7,500 square cubits. So when the fire is located in the middle of this field, there's an area with a radius of about 137 cubits around it, and the fire spreads beyond this 137 cubits, so then he's putter, because you shouldn't have to worry about that. Rabbi Yehuda says 16 cubits, like a public way taught above. Rabbi Akiva says 50 cubits in radius. And Rabbi Shimon says that the height and the measure of the fire, since the fire is a large one, it will spread further, so even though the distance mentioned above, in such a case, he'd be chayev if it was a large fire. It depends on the size of the fire. Okay. Mishnah 5. Hamaligas agadish. A person ignites a stack of sheaves. Vahayu bokelim vidalku. And in there are utensils, and they burn. Rabbi Yehuda omer yeshalam masha besocho. Rabbi Yehuda says he has to pay for what was in the stack. Vacham amrim ena mishalam el agadish shel chitin or shel su'urin. The Chachamim say he only pays for a stack of wheat or barley. Hayagdi kafus lo, ve'eved samuch lo, v'nisarafimo chayev. If a kid were tied to it, or a slave person was near it and was burnt with it, then he's chayev. Eved kafus lo, ugdi samuch lo, v'nisarafimo pater. But if a slave is tied to it, or a kid is near it, and he's burned, or they're burned, then he's putter. Umodim chacham l'Rabbi Yehuda, b'madlik es habira, shu mishalm kol masha besocho, shekein derek b'nei adam l'haniach b'batim. But the chachamim agree with Rabbi Yehuda that if a person set fire to a building, he pays everything for everything that's in it, because it's normal for people to leave things in it. All right, so if he ignites the fire within his own domain and it spreads and burns a stack of sheaves that belongs to his fellow and there's things inside it, so he's chayav for the things inside it. The Chum says he's only chayav for a stack of wheat or barley, which is in the open, and not for the utensils that are concealed in there, because it says in a consumed stack corn or standing corn, just as standing corn is in the open, so too the laws of payments of damages by fire applies to that's what's in the open, not to concealed objects. Tosfos and Rabbeinu Asher explain that Rabbi Yehuda and the sages disagree, both when the utensils buried in the stack, which were such that are normally concealed within it, in other words, tools for threshing and plowing, it would be normal to leave them there, or things that are not normally hidden there, such as a purse. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're liable even for utensils which are not normally hidden, and the Chachamim say only for utensils which are normally hidden. The Chachamim exempt him only for the utensils themselves, but obligate him for the space occupied by them. In other words, they regard the space occupied by the utensils as if it was filled with grain for the same type of stack sheaves. Now, if the kid were tied to the stack and couldn't escape, and the slave was near it, but not bound, and therefore could have escaped, but was burnt with the stack sheaves, he's chayav to pay for the stack of the sheaves and for the kid, but is exempt for the slave. He could have escaped. But if the slave were tied to the stack of sheaves, and the kid was near and could have escaped, but was burnt with the stack, he's putter, because he's l'chayev for the death penalty for the slave, so therefore he's exempt for payment for the stack, and if the kid were near the stack of sheaves, he's exempt for the kids, because it could have escaped. Now, according to other commentators, in the previous case, if a kid were tied to it, does not refer to an actual case of tying, but also to a case where the kid would near the stack. In either case, he's chayev, because the kid does not have the intelligence necessary to escape. So the kid near it in the latter case was cited in the Mishnah only because of the prior case, to make them parallel. But it really makes no difference whether the kid is bound or not. The sages agree with Rabbi Yehuda about things in a building being paid, everything being chayev for everything in there, because it's normal to leave things there. And the Gemara deduces from our Mishnah that that even in the case where a person kindles a fire within his fellow's domain, and the fire spread and burns a stack of sheaves and the utensils within the stack, that's when Rabbi Yehuda and the sages disagree. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he pays for everything within it, and the sages hold only that he's liable for the utensils, which are normally, but not abnormal like a purse. Right? The Ramban, and Yamshel Shlomo interpret the sage's opinion to the effect that only in the case of a person who ignites the fire within his fellow's domain and the fire passed over to another place of its own accord and caused damage, when he's only negligent and not an actual damager, he is liable only for the utensils which are normally concealed there. However, if he ignited his fellow stacks with his own hands, he's chayav for everything, even for utensils which are not normally concealed there. Tomorrow, we will do Mishnah 6 and Chapter 7, Mishnah 1.